I could give you the Star Trek computer analysis of this episode if for a minute.
Yeah, let's hear it.
This episode was terrible. It featured a new concept of time and new beings that have a different perception of time. And Scotty drank something and sat on the bridge.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Jog Ryan, my favorite podcast show. Do you like Star Trek? Do you love it? When you skateboard, do you pop shove it? Do you grab, do you ollie, do you flip? Hold on, let's do a trip trip. A spaceship trip. Going through outer space. I only pack red shirts, I guess I'll get shot in the face. I hope you love the show, I hope you talk about it.
To your friends or your family.
Hi guys.
Hi.
Hi Trey.
Hey Trey.
How's it going?
Hello Trey.
Well Trey, things are well.
All right. So these are pretty much the best episodes ever, right?
Yeah.
If by best you mean best.
Best.
Then this is what I'll say overall about these episodes for me, is that these ones, it's less that they made me angry like so many previous episodes, so much as they left me supremely disappointed, more so than usual.
Hmm. Okay.
Although I think my average rating this week is higher than last time.
Oh, wow.
I haven't actually written any ratings yet. I just didn't have the energy to write any ratings.
That's a good sign. Okay, let's dispense with the formalities here. Hey, welcome to Jaw Grind on the Third Avenue Radio Network. We talk about Star Trek every episode ever, eventually.
Oh, God. It's going to get better, right? Well, I just finished Next Generation, which was just so fucking amazing. So,
really?
I'm kind of excited if you guys want to do that. I don't know, although we just watched it, so I don't know if I could do it right away.
Well, I mean, we'll get to it, but it'll be like years.
There's four more series after that. So,
yeah.
Fantastic. Phil and I will be sending our kids off to high school. And
yeah.
Anyway, so I'm joined by Phil Barbato.
Hello.
Cale Muth.
Hello.
Daniel Warshaw.
What's up?
Jason Coleman.
Hello.
And I'm Trey Pietmeyer. Okay, so this week, we're still on season 3, the original series. So we're on E9 through E12. So shall we get started? Should I time this? Should I do the 10-minute per?
Yeah, I think that was great last time for keeping us on track.
Let's do that. Okay, so first up is the Tholian web.
All right, I'm just going to say right off the bat, Scotty's on the bridge. Automatic plus a star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, a whole star for that.
Well, that's about all the stars these episodes are going to get, so I'm reaching.
He talked about scotch, too. That was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Was this the one?
Lovable alcoholic Scotty.
He's going to mix the Klingon poison.
Does it mix well with scotch?
I'll let you know.
And he walks up with a bottle. People's lives are in the balance, and he walks up with a bottle.
Scotty, that's all we made.
Wow, I don't remember that already. I watched this on the 7th. What was that, last Tuesday?
Yeah. I watched them all in the last like 5 hours. And
see, that's the way
all
I got to do it.
Together. They all had very similar plots, so it's difficult to
dissimulate. They all had similar plot pacing, which is to say...
Disjointed? Oh.
30 times too slow?
Yeah.
About 30 minutes.
Each of these episodes could have been a half hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I won't disagree with that, but I do think that this was sort of the high point, maybe the high point for season 3. I think for these 4 episodes, I think Tholian web was the high point, and it just walked off a cliff after this one.
I might not disagree with that.
High point, maybe. I'll give you.
The spacesuits were cool.
I loved the spacesuits. Yeah.
I hated the spacesuits.
They're veiny things
so,
with the...
Like, they looked like kind of functional, and they had their names on them. And
they weren't like.
I liked that the communicator was in a different spot, and I don't know. I just thought it was weird and crazy and disco, but it was Star Trek. It was cool.
I always like it when there's a spacesuit involved, since
there's a lot of work
so
put
often.
Into
yeah,
Yeah,
sort of, except for the, you know, the window screen for the visor.
Well, it looked like
their innards were on the outside of their bodies.
Better than Spock's like loose fitting flowy hazmat suit from the first season. It was like, yeah, you're clearly safe. I could see your neck.
Yeah, that's the thing. These look like they actually closed them off.
Well, you know,
yeah.
Vulcan necks are like radiation proof or something.
Oh, right. Forgot about
that. They have extra eyelids under their necks. Wait.
What?
Neck lids?
Didn't you guys remember? Never mind.
Yeah, the second set of eyelids.
oh, yeah, Deus Ex Eyelid.
That's right. That's what it was, yeah.
They had no peripheral vision. Like, that thing was like blinders.
Yeah.
Well, they literally had a blinder on, was it their left side where the communications thing, like this column comes.
The weird black post.
Yeah.
I just thought they looked, I mean, as like metallic, sparkly, and weird that they were, they still kind of had a little bit of a feel of like not an Apollo. What's the
Mercury?
Like a Mercury suit, the silver suits. Yeah.
It was almost like somebody after the first couple of seasons went to the writers and showed them a picture of the spacesuit.
Guys.
And they took it from there. Or not the writers, but the costume department. The writers.
Yeah.
The writers
were busy drinking and writing 7 episodes in 2 hours and going to the bar.
Wow.
I think that this episode opened with and then repeated a few more times throughout these kind of weird sequences of like intercutting between everyone making really serious expressions.
Yeah, that was my first note, was there was much staring.
Yeah, why so serious?
There's also a lot of weird, fancy cinematography in these episodes.
Yeah.
Bad attempts at fancy cinematography. Anyway, sorry.
Like I said last time, maybe it's with the people making the show. It was their impression of what what arty cinematography might be. Their kind of bad idea of it.
Like they saw a film once at an art house theater, and they got some really cool ideas.
Or their cousin saw a film at an art house theater and described it to them.
Yeah.
Or they just let him run the camera that day. Hence the half of the show being out of focus.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
This episode had
terrible focus. Like, even on close-ups. I mean, I guess because they were using, like, a long telephoto or something, but they...
This is the one where they were space angry, right? This is...
Before the space
made them angry?
Before the dude jumped off the platform
onto that one. I was like, why is he out of focus? What's happening?
I know. He's, like, filling the whole frame, too.
It seemed like the last episode was really out of focus, too, the empaths.
Season 3 is really out of
focus. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it really is out of focus.
Do you think they're trying to do like a soft camera? Like I noticed on the empath, I guess, to try and sort of make her seem, I don't know, like she had a personality.
But there's I don't know if that's always visually distinguishable to most folks. I can tell the difference between out of focus and like a soft focus. Like you can get soft, like a soft look when you just have the lens opened up really wide most of the time, and they do that on a lot of times when they're trying to make people look. They do that when they focus on the ladies a lot, or when they have romantic scenes.
Oh, they smear Vaseline on the lens.
Yeah, or nose grease. That was
that a euphemism?
Probably.
But this was. I mean, like what happened
weak bell for that one.
In the Tholian web, it was decidedly just out of focus. I mean, like poor camera operator job.
Which only made the digitally edited web spaceship stuff sequence look that much more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Something that made me kind of angry about the Spock and Bones behavior, although I guess it's consistent with their interaction with each other, is just that Spock can't really seem to win with Bones no matter what. I wanted to just like hit one big point on it, then I'll be really brief about, and that's that I think that to me what was most interesting about this whole episode, what gave it interest to me, was that it was Spock who is stubbornly risking like the whole crew and ship in order to save Kirk, and he tries to he uses logic to justify some of his decision making, but at the core of it you have this dude who is just trying to save his best friend.
Yeah.
That's not very logical.
Yeah, and I think it's the kind of thing that, like, he tries to use logic to justify some of his decisions, but his overall actions are just kind of betraying his human side and the fact that he doesn't want to lose his best friend.
Interesting.
Yeah, it definitely goes against the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Yeah. Hmm. That aspect of it is what kept this episode from being a complete disaster for me.
That and the renowned Tholian punctuality.
Well, Spock had great quotes as usual. I mean, you know,
his delivery.
When the Tholians first appeared, I thought they were like from the other universe. So they identified themselves, and they didn't. There was no indication that they were like a known species. So I was under the operation that they were like these strange aliens, like aliens to our universe.
Hmm.
And then there was like the renowned Tholian punctuality. Like, oh,
I think it was because they said that they were going to be back at whatever.
I think he was
mocking them.
Oh, it was jokey Spock this episode.
Yeah,
and he was all lying for a gag at the end, which is totally not Spock.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. What? Why did they not tell him that they watched his? His tape or whatever.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I'm sure the captain would have simply said, "Forget it, Bones."
So why was... maybe the Wikipedia articles mentioned it, but why was Kirk pretty much written out of this episode? He was just gone the whole time.
Because he was exploring the empty universe by himself.
I didn't have a problem
beautiful.
With that.
I mean, the main character, you know, it's... just seemed odd. Like he had a personal problem or something.
I didn't have a problem when he was gone, although I thought it was funny when he comes back and he says, you know, I had the whole universe to myself and it was very lonely.
How the hell did he know that?
Like, dude, do you not have a universe? I mean, you can't explore literally everything.
I didn't see any person while I was there floating in one spot for 3 hours. It was clearly an empty universe.
Yeah, I had no means of moving about, but I could see really far.
Guys, as far as I can tell, there are two people and a dog in the universe right now. It's just me and my wife and my dog. It's amazing.
And four AIs, if you've yet to prove or not. No.
Exactly. I have no proof that you guys are not a computer or a figment of my imagination. So.
Yeah.
Well, I would say the other thing we learned about this lesson is now we know why astronauts drink Tang in space.
Because it cures space madness.
It cures the space madness.
Mixes well with scotch.
It mixes well with scotch. You know, I don't have any Tang or any scotch. So,
well, a really classic cocktail called Blood and Sand is a scotch and orange juice cocktail. So,
Is that good? That sounds not good.
I'm not a fan of peated scotch, and traditionally it would use peated scotch.
Mm-hmm.
But it has cherry liqueur and orange juice and scotch and some other things. So there you go.
My family drinks Dubonnet cocktails, which are Dubonnet wine, vodka, and orange juice in equal parts.
Oh, is that the stuff that you like have a funny name for and you make it by the
Doobies.
Pitcher?
Doobies. I actually have the pitcher, the Doobies pitcher right here.
You pass the Doobies.
It gets used as a flower vase more than it does for making Doobies. Yeah. Anyway.
I could get behind all of those things.
You could drink and smoke Doobies.
Yes.
In the right state.
Yeah. I know. These days, the more conservative your state, the more you're passing crazy adopting things.
So are we ready to rate this episode?
Yeah, I don't have a lighting utensil. Meg, could you throw me a pencil? Sorry.
Are you keeping track, Phil?
I just haven't written any ratings yet, so I want to write it down when I decide and in the moment
gotcha.
What to rate the thing.
I like it. I like that that technique.
I'll go ahead. I may be rating it the highest. I'll go first. I gave Tholian Web a 4.
Jeez.
What's that?
I actually enjoyed it. I have not much to say. I enjoyed watching this.
That's cool.
I felt like real science fiction.
Yeah. The alternate universe things.
I did like those spacesuits.
Yeah.
Meg said, "There's no rating for. Please give me my knight back."
Which, you know, Bones just totally Bones totally ruined a spacesuit by puncturing the arm when he could have just waited for Kirk to take his helmet off like 30 seconds later.
I guess he was dying of a lack of oxygen, so.
Hey, you know, a half second longer.
Yeah, but that trioxate could have whatever. Because injecting oxygen in your blood is good for you, right?
Yeah, that won't kill you at all.
Also, couldn't he just go through his neck or something?
Couldn't he have just breathed through the mesh? I like how they went to the trouble of like of affecting the audio so that it sounded like they were on a radio over like inside a spacesuit, but they were clearly just talking through a mesh.
It's just chicken wire. their own personal screen in porch.
Okay, so I gave this one a 2.
Ouch.
It was fine, but it didn't really impress me in any ways. So
I would never call 2 fine.
It wasn't the worst. I mean,
well,
yeah, but there's like a lot that is bad that is not the worst.
I see 3 as being sort of middle ground there.
I don't know. 3 is like I think I said before. Like 3 is I would watch it again if it came on, if I just happened to see it. I don't think that I would watch this.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm erasing my 3rd star as you say that. Because I don't want to watch this one.
Ouch. I would watch this again.
That's 4
I would look
or 5,
at stills of this one again. Oh, yeah. Remember those spacesuits? Those were cool.
What, Kale?
Shitty.
I was just going to say 4 or 5 is for me is maybe I would watch it again.
I love that.
Yeah, I gave this one a 3, just, I guess, in between you guys. The only positive notes I have were Scotty talking about Scotch and, the cool spacesuits. So. That's all I got.
I don't like to change my ratings after I've already put them down, but after kind of thinking about it, like, I also generally ascribe to the, you know, if it's a 3, I would watch it again if I was sitting on the couch and flipping through channels. I would not do that with this. But this episode really kind of underscores like the start of that theme I mentioned for me, where there was a lot of stuff in these episodes this week that could have gone somewhere really good, and then for whatever typical Star Trek problems or some other boneheaded plot problem, just wrecked it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. I kind of want to give it a 3, but I don't want to watch it again. So maybe I'll just break Trey's rule.
There's no half stars.
I have a higher stand. No, not that rule. The rule of thumb about watching.
Oh, okay.
I'll go with somewhere in between yours and Kale's rule about watching it. I'm gonna go with 3 stars. It started with Scotty on the bridge. Nurse Chapel was in it, and Scotty's alcoholism was prominent. So, I mean, clearly the guy's got a problem when he's gonna like mix medicine with Scotch.
Yeah, and this
he's
is like
a very functional.
What does it
alcoholic.
Do? Oh, it numbs your pain receptors. Awesome. Give me some. I'm going to mix it with alcohol.
This is like 60 seconds. After isn't that funny? 60 seconds after he's berating the doctor for saying that this came from a Klingon poison or something.
Yeah.
Klingon nerve gas or something.
Oh wow, yeah.
Cut to 6 months. Scotty and the Klingon slums begging for nerve gas.
Just one hit,
man. Anyway, I'm 3 stars. 3 stars.
Daniel?
For all the peripheral stuff, not for any of the good stuff.
I'm going to write a blog post tonight after this podcast about my idea of a 5-star rating system.
Nice.
Because to me, 3 does not mean, like, I think about like books. Like, if I read a book of 3, it does not mean I'm going to read it again.
Well, but there's a lot more effort involved in rereading a book.
I'm even thinking like I might listen to a song I rated 3 again.
Well, but again, there's different thresholds there. I mean, there's a lot.
3
less
is more like it's for it's like I think the way Dan and Trey think about it, it's like I wouldn't kick it out of bed. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch this episode, but if I'm glued to the couch and I'm comfortable,
and
I'm flipping through the channels and it's on,
See, that's funny,
it's a C+.
Like,
my alternative is like, you know, JAG reruns.
oh my!
I would probably turn it off and play games on my phone. But anyway,
we can take up more time at the end for that. But I just think that's interesting. It seems like there's a real different skewing of.
Yeah, I would like to read that blog post.
Yes, I would read it.
I'd like to read any blog post from me. I don't do that.
I would like to add that blog post to
Instapaper.
My Instapaper and forget.
And look at it years later when I have to delete that account saying, what the hell is all this stuff?
No offense. I just don't read anything.
Hey, Daniel, did you write this?
I did. I said I against my normal behavior of sticking with what I rated after I watched it. I was originally going with 3 out of 5, and I downgraded to 2 out of 5 because I would not watch this again.
Gotcha. I didn't have that written down. Okay, I'm good. Yeah. So, Plato's Stepchildren.
This one disappointed me the most out of all of them.
God, this one was hilarious, though.
Yeah, but it did have a lot of humor. All of the
telekinesis.
I thought, like, right from the get-go that dude Alexander was better than almost any other person they've had on the show.
He was really good, yeah.
He was a very good actor. Yeah, he actually stole the show.
Yeah.
He was a very sympathetic character.
Yeah, like, in a way that I almost never feel for anyone on this show.
Well, I kind of expected it to be he was the king of them at the end or something like that.
Yeah, he was going to actually be the one pulling the strings.
That's very Star Trek, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but that made it all the worse whenever Kirk is such a dick to him at the end.
Yeah,
I've got a little surprise for you.
I thought at least like the worst was going to happen was like he would be watching his new friends get hurt, and he was like, okay, I'm going to take these powers even though I don't want them. I'm going to do it to save them. Like, I thought that was going to happen, but no, he just grabs a knife and fails at stabbing the guy.
Yeah, but at least he didn't end up dying in the middle of it. I thought that was going to happen.
I thought the lady was going to get him in the end. She had this like shifty look in her eye. I thought she was going to just grab the knife and stab Alexander in the back. It's like he's never making it off this planet. Poor guy.
This seemed like, as an actor, this was probably really fun because they just got to be ridiculous throughout the entire thing.
Lord of the Space Dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, up to the Tweedledee Tweedledum bit, I actually was kind of into it.
Yeah, I kind of didn't understand how they knew Lewis Carroll, or were they just pulling stuff out of the heads of the people they were manipulating? Because, like, I thought they were making them say that stuff.
He spoke French at the end. The pièce de résistance. Like, you guys left Earth in, like, year zero. There was no French people.
French wasn't a thing. There was Latin, and that was it. There wasn't the French variant of Latin.
Oh, also, I kept referring to a lot of what was going on in this episode as like Jedi stuff, and then when they determined that it was some kind of organic compound that gave them their powers, I just wrote midichlorians. So
nailed it.
Damn it, Lucas, you spoiled it. Ruin the magic.
When I heard the setup that like they had been to ancient, like I was like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh god, another one of those raid the props department, blah blah blah, lame. It's like, oh, here's an alien race that happens to be exactly like ancient Greece, blah 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 blah. We'll introduce a couple of subtle differences and you'll make you believe that it's whatever. But then they like said that they'd actually been to ancient Greece and they fell in love with the culture, and I was like, oh, and there's a limited number of them, like, oh, they're the Greek gods, like that would be awesome, you know, like. And
there was already an episode of that.
Yeah, but we did that one.
It was
Horns for Adonais.
But that was a terrible show. It's a terrible episode.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah, it was horrible. I'm glad
one of the worst.
Was that the one where the guy was like going through the portal and like the disco negative?
No.
All I remember about that one is that they kept like throwing Chekhov against a wall because he was he was doing something. He was trying to impress some girl, and he kept like this god kept throwing him against a wall.
Just like the highlight of that episode.
He could make himself gigantic, and he got all his power from this special temple structure that was on the planet, and then the Enterprise destroyed it from orbit.
Wow.
So bad that it was burned into my brain.
Yeah, it was. So I guess with this episode, you do have to discuss that this was, historically, it's known as like the one where, you know, there's an interracial kiss.
Right.
Which
may or may not have been the first one on television.
But it's more than just that. There is that which is significant historically, but like in the show context, it brought up something like that I don't think I'd ever seen an episode before, where what Uhura was saying made it sound like she actually was interested in Kirk.
Because she kept saying she was trembling and all this. And
yeah.
She makes it so he's not afraid. She's not afraid.
But then she doesn't want to be there with him. They end up kissing. And then within like 30 seconds, he's throwing a whip at her.
Yeah.
But then it was another really cool time for the black woman. Like,
I know exactly. Like there were other weapons on that table.
Yeah,
they don't have that sort of inference.
Right.
Oh man, I didn't even put that together.
I didn't either.
I felt like it just hit me over the head. I mean, it was like, really, you're gonna throw the whip at the black woman?
Oh man,
it's not cool, guys.
Well, and then this one really bugged me. Like it had these high points, and it looked like, you know, when they were doing they're being controlled mentally by people. That's kind of entertaining, but the pace was so ridiculously slow. It's like, get to the point. And then there's just such all these really slow sequences. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so. So I had to step away for a second. So.
Uh-oh. Bitter.
So forgive me if you guys talked about this, but I thought the little person riding Kirk's back was way more controversial than anything else. And this was actually hyped up quite a bit for me because I was talking to somebody at work, you know, about Jog Ryan, and they're like, oh, have you gotten to the episode where the dwarf rides Kirk's back? And I was like, oh, man, no, we haven't seen that.
Who was saying that, Kale?
David, QA guy, was talking about that.
Uh-huh. I mean, honestly, I did think about this because we were talking about Alexander earlier and that he actually probably stole the episode. Certainly, in my opinion, he did. But, I mean, I would think for a little person in the 60s, this is probably a great role because, I mean, they even kind of comment, like, you know, that he's not, you know, special for his size. People of his size are, you know, throughout the Federation, it's no big deal.
Until they have to make some witty banter at the end and make light
of
it.
Yeah, exactly.
A little surprise for you.
Kirk pulls his total shat assery out. I've got a little surprise for you. Like, seriously, the guy's on his knees. He's shat right in your face, just punching. He's all smiling.
I wonder if they were trying to mask the kiss with this character. I mean, like it was just so overbearing. I don't know. It was weird. It was a weird episode.
Yeah.
Well, I think to a certain extent, the whole shenanigans of the Platonians or whatever were making them do, it was to humiliate them. So, I mean, I guess the fact that part of it felt uncomfortable and felt odd was, you know, sort of in keeping. It was more in keeping with what the point of what they were doing was, you know, than a lot of the show gets to. You know, they were humiliating them. Like, and actually the other thing I thought was interesting is they're making Spock laugh and cry, and they actually treat that like that's a really serious thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the same time, yeah, I could have done without seeing the little person ride Spock.
Well, and then what was the sound that Kirk was making? Was that supposed to be like a whinny? It was
like a horse. Yeah.
He's clearly, they don't have horses in Canada.
Well, what disappoints me is I went straight to Google looking for the animated GIF for that scene. And it does not exist that I could find.
No, so we'll have
it's
to make
really
that.
Up to you to make that. Wow.
Internet, you just let us down this week.
Yeah, if you're listening, Internet, let's get it done.
Netflix, Snaps Pro, Photoshop, you can make it happen.
Trey, your parents are our only two listeners. They're looking at one of them right now going, I can't do that. Can you do that? No, I can't do that.
Oh, wait, what?
I like to think that your parents are our only two listeners sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trey's like, no, they don't listen to the show.
No, I think my sister's the only listener.
Okay.
Allison, do you know anything about gifts?
Oh, man.
One thing.
When's she coming back on? Is she going to come back on? That was fun.
It's a possibility. She keeps saying, like, oh, I haven't listened to the last episode yet. And it's like, you know, you're like literally the only listener. There may be one other person.
Certainly the one with one that's upset she's missed one. she possibly get behind us.
I think the 10 o'clock recording time might be a little late for her, but I could tell her that.
Yeah.
I bet she would be game for joining again.
Yeah. That in the live recording we'll do someday.
Oh, ever. Yeah. That'll happen someday.
That'll happen. Anyway, a lot of derails tonight.
So we're almost out of time for this episode. Are we ready to rate this, or do we have more to say?
I don't have anything else to say.
It's just another
orbital lock thing. Like, I don't know what the hell that was supposed to be. It was just bad, lame. I don't know. Like, I get that they have telekinesis and they can lock them in orbit, but they made it sound like it was some sort of thing, like a scientific thing. Like, we're in orbital lock.
That's like in the Doctor Who universe, it's like, it's deadlocked. Like, don't even try it, it's deadlocked. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's behind a firewall. Oh, no. I'll use my 5-point encryption to break the firewall. There's 3 firewalls.
Reverse the polarity.
All is saved because the captain said reverse the polarity.
And Spock said sensors.
Sensors, Captain.
I think I can adjust the sensors for one of our brainwaves.
Sulu said sensors in the last episode.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, 5 stars.
Sulu's big says sensors.
Everybody re-rate.
I gave this one a 1.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
I gave it a... Go ahead, Trey.
I was just gonna say, like, it was just the pacing of it, and it was like, what was the point? Like, get to the point. What's the point? Why are so many terrible things happening? 1 star.
Wow.
I gave it a 3. I actually thought that the actor who played Alexander was one of the best guest roles they've had in a long time.
Yeah. After hearing you guys talk about that, I agree with that, and that would almost be enough to change my rating, but I'm not going to do it.
You don't have to.
I'm not going to.
Okay. See, I give it a 3 myself, actually, wow. and I would watch this one again, because even though the pacing was terrible and there was a lot that was not so great about it, like, I thought between the humor and between the supporting actors, That's enough to make me watch this again if it was on television. Not to look for it, but to, you know. Who was it that said not push it out of bed? Is that Phil? Did you say that, Phil?
Yeah. Who else would say something?
So is like a 5 then, like you have it on your TiVo, to like a wish list to always record it when it comes
home?
I'm just teasing.
What's a TiVo?
Well, you know, if I gave an episode of this 5 out of 5, I would probably buy the episode on iTunes.
Wow. Okay.
Assuming they had it on iTunes.
I think we've all given an episode of 5 before. Let's check the database.
I have not.
Let's go to the chart, Kale.
You've never?
Pretty sure the highest I ever gave something was a 4.
Hold on. Come on, internet.
And no. That would be the one where it was a Balance of Terror. That was my high point.
You didn't give that one a 5?
I don't think so.
Trey, if you load a web page right now, you might lose your call connection.
I know.
don't push it, Trey.
Yeah. Jeez.
Let us do that for you.
I'm distributed computing.
We were talking about backup options while you were out. We thought maybe if we all had landlines, we could do a conference call and record it on a tape, on a cassette.
That might be good.
And I don't think any of us have landlines except Jason's. Nope. Jason's got a VoIP line, which doesn't count.
A VoIP line?
It's the Comcast.
Okay.
VoIP? Isn't it VoIP?
Yeah, it's technically VoIP, but I mean it's through Comcast.
Right.
They don't sell it as VoIP like Vonage does.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, don't wait.
Anyway,
for me to, yeah.
2 stars. 2 stars for me.
2 stars.
Yeah, would not watch again. I did enjoy it for all of the reasons that people mentioned, but I can remember them, so I don't need to see it again. I thought Barbara Babcock was very good looking in this episode, but
wait, she plays Chapel, or is she the
no,
lady?
No, she's the lady.
Oh, the
Platonian woman.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In the platonic relationship.
Well, I gave it a 4.
Plate. Oh.
4?
Yep. I give it a 4. There was one scene in there with Spock. He had some good lines where they're debating Plato. And one line in particular, he said, "Whose harmony? Plato wanted truth and beauty and above all justice." And I don't know. Really enjoyed that scene. I thought Spock's character did well there.
Mm-hmm. Leonard Nimoy pulls it out again.
Yeah.
Indeed.
That's why I never had kids. Excuse me while I whip this out.
I'm starting to realize more and more that, like, I don't know if I could have possibly have watched 3 seasons of Star Trek were it not for Leonard Nimoy.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Okay.
Did everybody rate it?
What?
Did everybody rate it?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Wink of an eye.
Well, this is the third in a row where Scotty's on the bridge and they're answering a distress call.
There's a distress call, and I still didn't notice. Is the Enterprise the Federation's 911?
And they send the 3 most important people down to answer the distress call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would they need
Despite
them?
That not really panning out the last 2 times.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that for a computer that was sophisticated to determine that they'd been invaded and that the immediate purpose of the invasion was to occupy and seize control, I kind of don't know how the hell it didn't know any of those other things.
Or how to speak in a normal human voice. God's sake. A computer voice.
It's saving computer cycles. Come on.
Also, it was silly that, you know, the one and only time I can remember seeing, like, a yeoman with a beverage tray.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
But, Yeoman Ran used to come out with, you know, you guys just don't remember how
back
awesome
in the day.
Season 1 was. Oh, wait, yeah. Yeah, like season 1.
Basket weave
don't
and
you
the beverages.
Remember the, I heated these coffees with a phaser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember that?
Which actually would have been apt at this point, because maybe that's when they break out the coffee on the Enterprise, is because all the stuff's breaking down. And I guess they can't replicate food, so somebody's like, well,
so make some coffee.
Dust off the coffee maker. this yeoman, or whoever the red shirt with the coffee tray, should have totally been like, oh, I heated it with a stunner. That's just standard practice now.
I thought that, like, structurally and visually, the episode was kind of neat. Like, that there was a lot of...
Was cool.
Yeah, and they used... They had, like, a mixture of using high-speed cameras, which you could tell they were using high-speed cameras because you'd see the light flickering. And also because there were scenes when people couldn't have actually moved that smoothly play-acting.
Yeah.
But then they would also have scenes where they just had folks, like, standing there, like they were, you know, when you knew that people were moving so fast that it really would have looked like people at normal speed, so to speak, were kind of frozen in place. And that just kind of, I think, was kind of a neat visual thing to do throughout the episode, to switch back and forth that way.
Yeah. And they must have thought so too, because they used it again in the Empath.
Yeah.
They sure did.
Yeah, I was really hoping they were going to go for, like, a whole Wes Anderson people walking, you know, like the whole team walking across the planet in slow-mo. It was a badass group or something.
Yeah, so the whole concept of people existing on different, like, perceptions of time reminded me, and I put this in the editorially show notes, there's an issue of Animal Man from the early 90s where, like, Animal Man's power is, like, he can absorb the powers of, like, any animal. And so he, in order to win some battle, he, like, absorbed the time perception of a fly. And then he was able to move a whole lot faster than anybody else. And it just reminded me of this. It's like, just them, like, getting accustomed to, well, what's this buzzing sound? And then why is everyone basically frozen? And it's like, oh, that's cool. It's like that issue of Animal Man. And I just remember that in the early 90s, like, blowing my little teenage brain, like, wow, that's so cool. And this reminded me of that. That gave it a star rating right there.
I don't remember Animal Man, but I do think that, yeah, the sort of being on different wavelengths of time was at least a concept we hadn't seen as this Star Trek before.
Yeah, I thought it was a great effect for a show that's, I guess, fairly low budget at this point. I thought they really stretched it out and did a nice job with it.
Did you guys notice that whenever they were on the fast timeline, the cameras were like 60s Batman?
Yeah, the Dutch angle was a little heavy-handed in this episode. Yeah. Like everything is at a 30-degree tilt to the left.
Yeah, when they made like the transition, it was like, rotate.
Diagonal means fast.
Yeah. That something that hadn't occurred to me, like I kind of got half of this, but where we see Kirk pulling on his boots, which seems like a pretty clear indication that he'd been scrumping.
There's a joke in there somewhere about how fast.
Exactly. That I only just now was putting that together in record time, Captain.
Oh my god!
Was that the closest?
Best 3 femtoseconds of your life.
Was that the closest to this Star Trek has come yet to inferring that Kirk does more than just talk him to death?
I believe it's there's pretty obvious. Several like post-coital kind of heavy-handed inferences, like in bed, getting out of bed, putting on clothes.
Yeah,
because that one was all like she's primping her hair back in the mirror. She just did that a minute ago, and he's sitting on a bed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he had a pebble in his shoe. He had to get it out.
Yeah, and she, you know, she leaned over to help him with the pebble. And her hair got messed up.
Yep, tussled it up.
Wow.
I've got a little quote here of dialogue. I can't remember who said it, but it was, "I do my duty, and so do I, and sometimes I allow myself to enjoy it." And the 12-year-old in me just went crazy at that.
I always enjoy my duty.
The one that I thought was funny was Kirk is telling her, it's like, this is a stunner, and it has two settings, stun and kill. And I was thinking, yeah, and her stunner's got a third one. Knock yours out of your hand, dumbass. She zaps with it, and it just goes flying off to the side.
I love how she was like, don't ever try to take that again. You'll never get it away from me. And then he was like, in the end, he's like really slowly, like grabs her arm and pulls it off. Like, I don't know. I just expected her to be lightning quick reactions. You'd have to be super fast ninja, Kirk, to get it off of her. You know, he was just like, hey, bitch, I'm taking your gun. I don't know.
She didn't need to put up a fight or anything.
Her outfit was pretty awesome.
I think half of it was missing.
Yeah.
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 It seemed like she was going to get cold on one side. I do that when I'm in bed. I stick one foot out of the comfort.
That's what it is. You know, like the one she was like, she got this dress. It was a little too warm, so she just cut half of it off, and she was fine. Yeah,
she vented one half.
I like the outfits the dudes were wearing too. Those were fabulous. Chokers, those metallic chokers, and a nice boat neck. That was sexy. And that's a boat neck. Is that a boat neck?
The little flowers that were their communicators.
They made for some really awkward like staging and stuff. They constantly like had their hands in front of their necks. Talking. I just thought it was awkward.
The outfit was awkward. The props department or the costume department barely shot its whole budget on the in think tank on the spacesuits.
Yeah.
Because those were.
They had to cut them up to make the chokers.
Those looking bizarre, like evening dresses that they put on the men.
Yeah.
You got a minute left.
I have nothing.
Wow. I'm surprised that we have a minute left. We've been doing a full 15-minute timer.
10 minutes per episode.
Wow.
I could give you the Star Trek computer analysis of this episode for a minute.
Yeah, let's hear it.
This episode was terrible. It featured a new concept of time and new beings that have a different perception of time. And Scotty drank something and sat on the bridge.
In that order.
Yes, in that order, exactly.
I had forgotten they went to the computer to ask if they could defeat them. They control your ship. They could just have the computer say, no, you cannot.
I don't understand. All the computer did was like confirm their hunches.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't like, yeah. Whatever.
What a useless computer. Useless, annoying computer.
I think the problem was, I think Majel Barrett, I don't know, I have to look this up. I almost think that was her voice, and because she was also a character on the show, like they had, she had to do a different voice for the computer. But
yeah,
so and of course in the 60s,
ate her nurse character or whatever.
Yeah, we had, I guess we had, computers had to sound like a robot back then. We didn't have any idea that they would ever be able to sound like human beings. Anyway.
I give it a 2.
I gave this one a 2 as well. I felt like this is where it really started falling fast.
I gave it a 3 because I thought it was a little bit visually more interesting, and it was kind of a solid concept, although it was slow and kind of meandering at times. But, 3.
I gave it a 3 as well. Yeah, just based on the whole time shifting and all that.
Same here. Wow. Same reasons.
Wow.
Visuals and concept.
Dittos.
Jason, you and me.
I'll just add that another thing that dinged it for me is that I kind of hated that what looked like it threatened to undo things was just kind of the male jealousy thing over a woman. Like, it seemed like she was just going to be there as kind of ultimately was going to just be like a motivation for the dudes to fight.
But even that fizzled out. She's like, "I'm sorry." He's like, "I know."
Actually, I thought that actually was probably one of the better plot turns of the whole thing, is it didn't go that way. Like, she remained the main character, the main sort of villain.
That's true.
I thought that, because compared to the lady in the next episode, had a little personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. If this one, I should say, is a 2 plus to categorize my rating of the next.
No half stars.
I rated this one an E.
For everyone?
PlayStation.
All right. The empaths.
Osaba!
Thanks, Osaba.
Thanks, Osaba. I swear I thought he said Obama. when the guy died, I was like, did he just say Obama?
I saw that. I saw the picture that you put into GroupMe before I watched the episode.
I did too.
No, but that was great because when I saw it, I could swear it was like Tracy Morgan.
Totally, right? It looks like Tracy Morgan's Obama.
Yeah. Or just Tracy Morgan in a funny
wig.
So at this point, this is the 4th episode where they've got a distress call. This is the 3rd in the row where it's from a seemingly abandoned civilization or city.
This is a known quantity.
This is the 3rd out of 4 where there's buzzing and or disappearing people.
Buzzing and or disappearing.
And this is the, I think, the 4th in a row where for a short period of time Kirk is stranded alone.
We've got Scotty in the captain's chair again too.
And yes. Scotty's in the captain's chair.
Scotty should just be captain.
Yeah, but he's got some pretty bogus hair in this one again.
He does. What's with the slick back?
Oh, I like it. He should have his own series. They should have spun him off. That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Well, he's got the hell of a good enough sense to stay on the ship and not go down to the landing crew every time.
Scotty in charge.
Of course, that one time he did go down, he got drunk and killed a woman.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe he's not allowed on the ship.
It's a good thing they had that technology that erases your memory or remembers your memory from the previous day automatically that they never used again ever.
I love that.
We broke it.
Yeah. Threw it on Scotty and it broke because scotch. So we saw things we didn't want to see, so we decided to destroy it.
Destroy it before it continues. Was the woman, was she a proto-Betazoid?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to ask.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
When I saw the title, I was like, oh, Troy.
Right, exactly.
But it was less cool. Although I do like they had like some attempt at a scientific explanation for the empathy, which was kind of cool. Bones was like her nervous system is so sensitive that it can read our emotional and physical reactions and react to them. I don't know. I thought that was kind of an interesting explanation.
So
doesn't explain why she can take their scars, but yeah I'll give them.
Yeah, that part was, and then make them disappear. Like, so why not just skip a step?
She's like John Coffey, right? From Green Mile.
Yeah.
But without spitting out flies,
right? But so it made no sense though. She was attuned to their everything and empathic, like empathy, right? And then so then the brainy aliens who are from the pilot episode.
The makeup got a little better.
But they were like, they were trying to get to determine if she would sacrifice herself, but she's like, her whole identity is being empathic and the empathy. And it, did that make sense to anybody? Could someone explain that to me?
No, that was weak. Like, they're trying to like judge all of the, apparently there's a million different races in their solar system. And they're trying to decide which one to save.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're deciding. Yeah, I don't. That was.
So we're going to torture someone to see who deserves to live? Or?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And they're going to base it off of one person.
Yeah. Like, what if she's like the worst person in that culture?
Or you know? The best.
Yeah. And how is it exactly that you create instincts in one person? Instantly, like the, I don't.
Yeah,
think that's
and that's
going
to carry to
work.
Her whole race or whatever.
Yeah, like well, now we're going to breed her with every man on the planet.
How many more McCoys are they going to have to kill for this?
How many McCoys must a man before he can save a race of empaths? Anyway,
yeah.
I thought it was interesting to note that apparently when the Federation establishes an outpost to observe a dying star, they bring spiders with them. That's good to know.
That spiders that can take over in 6 months and make a thing look – yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one cool thing about that was like when Kirk got teleported – the print he left in the dust on the ground was
– Yeah, that was cool.
That was a cool effect.
I think for once, did they not use the like Bewitched boy transporting sound? No, I think they used it.
I think they did.
I think they did.
Yeah.
How would you know otherwise?
Yeah.
If they don't do that, you think you just got vaporized.
Right. Boyoing means they're still alive.
Something magical happened. I love that this episode was definitely not for those with sensitive anything. Especially visual and people with epilepsy.
Mm.
The flashing.
Every time, the flashing when they transported and that force field was like, it was giving me a headache.
It was,
Megan was like, I'm not even looking at the screen and that's giving me a headache. Now, when I paused it, it looks really cool. Like, it looked like they were at a rave. But
I did manage to get a cool screenshot of it too, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I'll take it. Add this to show
notes. Don't look at it, Trey. It'll kill your connection.
Oh, too late.
Yeah. It's half a meg. Yeah.
It's a nice screenshot.
I love that clean cut line at the bottom. That looks right. It looks correct. The perspective.
It is cool.
Johnny, the post-production intern with the pair of scissors. Cut that, Matt.
Hey, well, that... That could have been my cropping too.
The perfect curve at the bottom of the force field.
Oh exactly. Yeah.
The screenshot also illustrates something that really kind of stuck out to me the first time they walked into the lab, as it were. I wrote down, "Oh, they've stumbled into a World's Fair exhibition."
I really enjoyed the visuals. The fact that they're kind of in a black, I don't know, nothingness. There's, you know, there's no real walls. And then in one scene, a group of them walks, like they must have walked all the way to the end of the soundstage. Like they just kept walking and walking into the darkness. And I don't know, that coupled with the force field color, I really enjoyed that.
I like it when the Freons, what were they called? Frisians?
Thought they were Vians.
Vians. Yeah, somebody called them Fians, and then the Vians. When they faded away at the end, that was really nice.
You liked when they got tiny.
When they cut to a photograph and they clearly just dollied back from the photograph into the darkness. I think it was like maybe just used an office chair and the cameraman was sitting in an office chair. Oh, that was awesome.
Oh boy.
I will say, though, that Kale, you make a good point, because having just sort of the dark seeming infinity going on, it looks a lot better than some of the typical crap set dressing that they have.
That just felt cheap to me. Like, I see what you're saying about how cool it is, and I kind of get it, but it also just felt like, yeah, we didn't have time to build sets this week, so we're just going to use the soundstage with some really harsh lighting.
Well, I'll say this. It looked cheap in a different way than all the other stuff looked. Yeah. When they actually do build the set.
It was
a
refreshingly new kind of cheap.
But I do like the visuals of this, even the really bad episodes, which is most of them this season, but like the way, I don't know that I cared for this set more than like the jagged paper mache rocks and the purple skies and stuff like that, but you know, it had its, you know, good characteristics. I didn't hate the whole black, you know, no walls thing, but
yeah.
Well, and then when they were suspended by chains in the void, and you couldn't see the ends of the chains, and it looked just kind of, it just made it seem more kind of hopeless, being like hung up by chains, then you just don't see where they go, and you're just in the middle of darkness.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of,
yeah.
I thought that was kind of neat.
Anytime they make some sort of effort, even if it is kind of cheese ball, I mean, the cheese ball is what's part of what's great about original series is
right,
you know, the future, the, you know, the what's the Disney, the Land of Tomorrow, whatever the hell it's called,
the like world, that Tomorrowland, the world,
yeah, Tomorrowland, like that, yeah. Type of future, you know, the ray gun rocket ship future is kind of entertaining and awesome. So I guess I just enjoyed name tags tonight, but I love the little giant test tubes with their names on them.
Yeah, it was pretty great that they knew how to speak English and write in it too.
It's the TARDIS lets them do that.
Two episodes back, that the notorious Thorians or whatever, punctual Thorians, had the exact same time scale as us. They clearly knew what two hours and 53 minutes were. Yes, we will be back. And they didn't even bother to be like, in your Earth time or whatever. It was just like, yep, we got it.
Yeah, and they conveniently did it in a nice round number for Earth time, too.
Yeah.
I could not stand the empath character.
She's, yeah. I mean, like 98% of this episode was her face.
Yeah. Just
ironically, she was just not a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
No amount of sad, pathetic looks or her crying. Like, I just, and listen, I'm not saying that if someone was mute, I would not like them. I'm just saying this person.
Just, are you saying you had hate deaf people?
Yes.
Jason?
That's what I'm saying. Almost as much as I hate Def Leppard.
That's it. Done. Good night.
But I mean, she just like, I mean, I think at one point she sort of like grabs Spock's sleeve and like motions he should come back the other way because Kirk fell down. That's the most communication she did in the whole show.
Yeah.
Like, she's almost like going out of her way to not communicate with him.
I think you can blame a lot of this on most of these episodes, you blame a lot of it on the writing and direction, and, you know, like there's a nugget of an idea there, and a good writer, director, whatever, could make an interesting character out of a mute empath. I mean, there's a lot of interesting concepts there. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I'm not saying you were blaming the actress, but I guess in my head I was thinking that this actress was really
dramatic.
She communicated through like interpretive dance. It looked like she was like,
I have a feeling she was like a dancer or something. Cause the way she moved, it was very,
like whenever McCoy knocks her away and she does a little spin before she flies.
Yeah. And the way she like lands on the floor. Yeah. Like very gracefully.
Most people when they go unconscious, they don't land so gracefully.
Yeah.
As a rule. Yeah, I just – I didn't – like, honestly, what's my other note? So it's, oh, here, use these HVAC controls to save him, the little weapon they hold up. Oh, the, yeah. the one guy holds up and the other one just sort of points.
Yeah, what was
that? And he like, holds the HVAC, the little wall.
Our guns do everything from stun to disappearing acts. Okay, thanks.
I don't have one, so I just poke Fred, and he shoots his.
Yeah. He's all like, the one on the left is all like, use your
now.
Thing again. Yeah. Do that thing again. Use it. Spock's eye roll at the end is like, that was what like gave this a whole extra point for me.
What happened?
Was it, they say something about, oh, yeah. Isn't it funny that human emotion is what they value the
most?
Oh,
yeah. Someone should tell the Vulcans, yeah.
Somebody should tell the Vulcans that. Now, well, Spock can put that in his report, and he's all like, I'm sure I'll give it all the due consideration. And he, like, does his whole eye roll.
Well, and then also, he was the one, he was able to suppress his emotion and get out of the force field and save the day.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Two old guys totally did not put up a fight either. Like, oh, you got it.
Every species is susceptible to the Vulcan neck pinch.
Strange note on this episode is that it was bookended for some reason by two different Bible references.
It was.
Yeah.
The merchant story, is that a Bible?
Well, there's the pearl or whatever, finding the lost pearl was, it's in a parable in the New Testament. And then somebody at the research station when they were looking at their videos.
Oh, yeah,
tapes,
he quoted Psalms.
Psalms or something.
Oh, so. yeah, okay.
Hmm.
That was Azaba.
Thanks, Azaba.
Thanks, Azaba.
Sounds like you have a cold. Thanks, Obama.
Sarcastic Cole hates the president. Thanks, Obama.
Let's rate this.
2 out of 5.
I
thought it was kind of boring.
Give it a 2 out of 5.
I guess
this rounds up to a 2, in my opinion.
If I could do 0, this would get a 0, solid 0.
Oh.
Wow.
I'm gonna go with 1. I'm also predicting Kale is going to give it a 4 or a 5.
You would predict correctly.
Awesome.
Yeah. I liked it. I don't know. The dark background, it just felt like more hard science fiction to me. Like it reminded me of the Star Trek scenes, like in Apex and Matrix and some of that stuff. I just thought the Stark sets reminded me of that quite a bit. And I totally bought the empath character, especially when she was healing. I could feel bones and literally taking the cuts and lesions from him, and I don't know, I just really bought into it for some reason. I haven't convinced you guys, I can tell.
I did appreciate that Bones, the doctor, says I can't take a life, not even to save my own.
Yeah.
He also said he's a doctor, not a coal miner.
Yeah. Oh, he also said a doctor, not a mechanic, right?
There was like 2 in a row. Like, I'm just a doctor. I don't know how to do this. I'm a doctor, not a mechanic. It's like, get it, the doctor.
Kale, did you give
it? Guys, remember that? Remember that thing that he does? That thing that Bones does?
He didn't say damn it, Jim, though. He just said. Yeah.
Or he's dead, Jim.
Did you give it a number, Kale?
Dead, Jim.
I gave it a 4.
Okay.
Kale, wiping out your 1s.
Yep, that was the plus eye of disapproval, is what that was.
Yes, it was.
All right. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
So let's hope they get better. Or
I don't know. I'm not holding out hope for that.
How much longer do we have this season?
We got like three more episodes at 4 apiece.
So we'll be done by the end of the year.
It's a lot of that's a lot of episodes per season.
All right, man. Guys, I gotta go to bed.
Yeah, it's that time.
It's been great.
Good show, guys.
Have a good one, fellas.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, good night.
Good night.
See you.